This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. This week, our podcast is brought to you by BHP. Reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the production of copper is critical. That's why BHP has committed to solar, wind, and battery agreements to help power their copper mine at Olympic Dam in South Australia. It's happening now at BHP. Visit bhp.com/critical to find out more. We did a lot of umming and ahhing about whether this was the right topic for News Club this week, Claire. Well, I did a lot of umming and ahhing. You were fairly sure that this was the right topic for
News Club. It's a big news story, that's for sure. And it was kicked along again early this week with a photo that was published in the British tabloids of Kate and William in Windsor. But we did wonder whether it's too gossipy because that's not really our lane.
We're also a bit like, is Kate okay? That's a thing as well. And we know some of you feel that way as well. And we'll get to that in our comments section. But we went down the rabbit hole on it. There are some big issues at play that go beyond royal intrigue and gossip.
Yeah, exactly right. And we thought, given all of that, it would make a really solid News Club topic. Even if it's just to better inform your gossip, we're okay with that too.
That is more than okay. News Club is the place to go for conversations about the news. I'm Kate Watson.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
The context, Claire. There's a bit of context to this one. There are plenty of places you can start. But let's start from mid-January when Kensington Palace announced that Kate Middleton is in hospital recovering from a successful planned abdominal surgery.
Yep, she would need a couple of weeks in hospital and then she would step back from public duties until after Easter. As the weeks passed, conspiracy theories began about her whereabouts because many noted that she hadn't been seen in public since Christmas Day. And then on the 4th of March, a paparazzi photo of Kate in a car driven by her mother, Carol Middleton, near Windsor Castle was published internationally, not in Britain.
I didn't know that, but you did point that out to me.
That's part of this deal that the royals have with the British press around those pap pictures. But then more gossip circulated that it might not have even been Kate in the car.
The bits and pieces have happened in between, like Prince William pulling out of an important event at short notice, which was delivering a eulogy at his godfather's funeral. The rumour mill word and word. And then on Mother's Day, a photo drops from Kensington Palace. If you haven't seen it, I'm shocked. Sure, you've all seen it. But basically, it's of Princess Kate and her three children. News agencies, though, probed it and then issued a kill notice.
Yep, they said the image was manipulated. Specifically, there was a misalignment of Princess Charlotte's left hand. It didn't meet up with her sleeve, and Kate had blurred hair and a fuzzy hand. She then apologised for causing all of the confusion and she admitted that she was the one who tinkered with the image before sharing it on social media. She said, "Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing."
That has generated reams and reams of news coverage about what it all means, how it plays into trust and the royals, trust more broadly as well, the role of the law in all of this, and how this question of digitally altered images has made its way all the way to the White House, Claire. Each week on News Club, Claire, we pick out sort of three bits of news coverage that get across the various themes of a story. Three this week, again. Our first one.
My brain lines up.
You're all good. Is from Nieman Lab, which is connected to Harvard University. It's an interview with Ellie Hall. She was a senior reporter and official royal correspondent for BuzzFeed News for nearly 10 years. It talks about royal reporting, social media, the PR strategy, and she also does a really good timeline of events and then the conspiracy theories that have come off those events. Let's start with the process point, though. Ellie talks about the makeup of the press teams, the palace press teams.
The nuts and bolts stuff. This is the stuff that really gets me going. So what Ellie talks about is one of the most important things to remember is that the royal family doesn't have one big press office. It doesn't have one team servicing all of them. The king and the queen have their press team, that's at Buckingham Palace. The Prince and Princess of Wales have their press team, that's from Kensington Palace. And if Harry and Meghan had stuck around, they would have their own team at Clarence House.
Yeah, when you hear the palace has said something, it could be referring to any of those outfits. And that's a thing because, as Ellie explains, they've been accused of sort of briefing against each other in the past.
This is a thing that Harry has been talking about quite a bit. Mm. Yeah, exactly right. Not in this case, though, but it is a good bit of context when you considering exactly how that whole machine works. The piece that we've pointed to there from Neiman Lab, it also talks about the Royal Rota.
The media ecosystem, she calls it. The Royal Rota is an approved group of reporters. They're given access to royal events. They're obligated to share what they get with the wider media. So the Rota is really about managing press packs and distributing information more than anything. They do include tabloids, another thing that Harry has taken issue with. Ellie observes in this piece one interesting thing, as she puts it. There's been a lack of speculative tabloid coverage about Kate's status. So usually there would be a void of tabloids saying things like, what's Kate been doing in her downtime? What's she been up to? What she says is that this has mainly been driven not by the tabloids but by social media.
Yeah, and there's a vacuum there to be filled. So it leads into a conversation about how this speculation about Kate has really driven that social media conversation, not the tabloids, which is kind of the new age, I guess, of media and content and how we're consuming it. Ellie says, and this is the quote, I cannot emphasise enough how out of character it is that the Royal Press team went on the record in response to what is essentially gossip. And what she's referring to there is the fact that the palace, a spokesperson, went on the record three times during this saga.
First in response to a Spanish media report that Kate was in a coma, then in response to the widespread social media speculation about her status, and then once again in response to William's reaction to the social media speculation. What it says is they're in a spin.
They're in a spin. Close observers are certainly saying that there is something very different about all of this. And then this photo drops and a kill notice is issued because of concerns about the image manipulation. Kate puts out that statement saying, sorry, I touched it up. And then all hell really broke loose from a PR point of view and the conversation has squarely turned to trust.
Yeah. So, for example, CNN says that it's reviewing all of the handout images previously provided by Kensington Palace, explaining that the Royal Press team wasn't transparent about the fact that the photo's been adjusted, and that's an action that damaged the trust between the palace and media organisations. Also, the palace says they won't release the original image.
And you can hear a lot of people, Kate, probably like yourself.
Like me.
Like,
don't we all edit photos?
Yeah, don't we all edit photos? And is this really a big deal? And maybe it isn't. But there are these really threshold issues when it comes to the integrity of news and of publishing and trusting what we read and see. So maybe it is.
Club pick two.
Club pick two. Let's do it.
Club pick two is a demonstration that this issue has stretched far and wide. It's not just contained to how the royals deal with the British press. At the first available opportunity after Kate fessed up to editing that image, a question was put to the White House press secretary about this.
Yeah, her name is Karine Jean-Pierre, and one of the news correspondents in her press conference asked, does the White House ever digitally alter photos of the president, the vice president, or the first lady before they're released?
It was fascinating watching this because all the other journalists started laughing.
They started
like it wasn't a real question.
They got the giggles.
Yeah,
exactly. But what Jean-Pierre said in that press conference is, not that I'm aware of, I would say no. Why would we digitally alter photos? Are you comparing us to what's going on in the UK? Why does the monarch have anything to do with us? No, that's not something we do here.
And I guess that's the nub of the conversation. What does digitally altered mean? How does it line up fake images? Because there are sort of degrees here. One of the more interesting contributions on this we both came across was Pete Souza. I know you follow him on Instagram, Claire. He's the former official White House photographer. He worked there during the Obama years. He pulled out a famous photo he took of Barack Obama with Prince George in his little dressing gown.
It was super cute.
That photo is so cute. Yeah. I was sort of reminded of that.
Yeah, teeny tiny.
Very, very cute. Anyway, it's not about whether the photo was cute or not, but he talks about clarity in what people are talking about when it comes to digitally altering something.
Yeah, exactly. And he says that it's really important to be clear about this because we're in the middle of this rise of AI and also mis and disinformation. He says as a professional photographer, almost every image that he takes is photoshopped in some way. He dials up the light, he tweaks the definition. Pretty much he reckons that if you got into the metadata of almost every photo that's taken that's used in the news, you would see this sort of trail of manipulating images. He calls that photoshopping and he says that altering an image is something else entirely.
But how do we know?
Well, exactly right. How do we know? And that's going to be one of the big questions as we go forward into the future.
His point, though, is really about language. So if something's photoshopped, it's been sort of exactly what you've just said. But if it's altered and it might be fake, that's a different conversation, and we need to use the right language when it comes to this. He says it's not sort of an esoteric conversation. The government, tech companies, civil society groups, they've already taken some action to police this emerging world where anyone can create photorealistic images of candidates, replicate their voices, for example, with accuracy.
Yeah, and even just last week, one company that's been really reluctant to submit to that whole process is a company called Midjourney. If you've been into this world at all, you probably would know who they are, but they're a popular artificial intelligence image generator. The heat has increased so much this year that it's moved to block users from creating fake images of President Joe Biden, also the former President Donald Trump. And I mentioned their reluctance because it's a company that sees things moving very, very quickly.
Yeah, its CEO David Holt said, anybody who's scared about fake images in 2024 is going to have a hard 2028. It will be a very different world at that point. Obviously, you're going to still have humans running for president, but they won't be purely human anymore. Help. How did we get from, and I mean, we're not implying at all that this image is, you know, a deep fake or something, any of those conspiracy theories, but this is where the conversation's gone.
Yeah. So what Holtz is talking about is that we're not going to get these like humanoid creations running for president in 2028. What he's talking about is this world that we're moving into that he reckons by the next election, AI and these altered images will be so embedded in the way that we consume information that there will be a world where campaigns, political campaigns, will incorporate candidate-like chatbots with talking points.
So you can say, you know, President Trump, what do you think about X? And some sort of chatbot will respond, or like something like that?
Yeah, and that they could appear even sort of in some kind of image at events. All sorts of things could happen.
So this is where Kate sitting in a, you know, on her Mother's Day, taking a photo and then, you know what, touching it up a little bit has gone into this realm of conversation.
She's become a real proxy for this one.
She has. This leads us very squarely into a conversation about trust and brings us to our third pick, Claire. This one's a quick one. It's from The Scotsman. It talks about this idea of trust and a really poignant line, I think, that this isn't about the royals really. This is the quote. It's really about the evolving news infrastructure, the eroding of the press as the gatekeeper of information, and the changing roles and duties the public plays as not just consumers, but also producers of news.
Yeah, and it talks about how we need to be thinking about the structures that sort of, you know, talk about what's real and what isn't. The reason we included this one is because it's short and thoughtful, and it previews this whole other side to the commentary about how the royals are managing this and about that issue of trust. One headline from The Guardian this week that I thought was really interesting too was people question everything now. And this is, I guess, about how Kate's photo scandal really rips up the rules for the royals, but also how it does it for the media as well.
It also touches on this idea that lawmakers are very heavily involved in this, in how that we are going to distribute information to people and where that kill notice is issued and where it's not. I thought it was interesting though, Claire, and this goes into our comments section, that this idea that the royals are losing trust, or is it the media that's losing trust? And I guess that's where the debate's landed. Based on the feedback we've received, it might be the media losing trust, not the royals. Let's get into that now. Before we get into what might be in the news next week, a message from our podcast advertiser, BHP. This week, they're keen to share with Squizzers how the resources they mine are key to the energy transition to renewable energy.
Yeah, we often hear about the push towards renewable energy, but what doesn't get as much attention is the role resources play in making that transition possible. Take steel, for instance. It's a key material used in the construction of renewable energy infrastructure, as well as in bridges, transportation, hospitals, and schools. And a big part of it comes from iron ore.
BHP says the importance of responsibly produced Australian iron ore is clear.
And by that, they mean reducing the greenhouse gas emissions associated with iron ore production. It's why BHP has committed to a solar and battery agreement to help power their port facilities at Port Hedland.
It's happening now at BHP. And if you want to learn more, visit bhp.com/critical. You'll find that link in your episode notes. Claire, the poll question out of the News Club newsletter this week was, do you think the scrutiny around Kate is fair? We sent it out about 2 hours ago.
Mm.
We've had nearly 700 votes.
Mm.
63% of squizzes say that no, the situation has been blown out of proportion. And just scrolling through here, I mean, I was reading them out to you before, the scrutiny is pathetic. I do think or a palace official might have just been more generous with some of the details. I feel sorry for her. Don't care. Kate's entitled to her privacy. There was a lot of sentiment around, can we just leave this alone?
Yeah, lots of love for Kate, specifically from Squizzes. As one put it, she's still on leave and she has her right to privacy like everyone else. The fuss about the photo is just a beat up. Also, just genuine concern for her.
Mm.
She's on a break. Allow her to recover from her surgery without stressing about a photo.
The Kardashians do it every day and no one cares, for example.
Yeah. Lots of squizzes pointing out that heaps of celebrities dramatically altered their images and they are covered in the news. So, yeah, there's a fine distinction there, that's for sure.
The second biggest response, though, was that their public figures and trust is important. That was sort of daylight between no and this, but it was still sort of like, you know, a fifth of people saying that they're public figures, so they should be held to a higher account and that trust is really important.
Yeah, one said if they were not taxpayer subsidised, I would say no, but plenty of people pointing out that the royals need to do what they need to do to keep the public updated as well about Kate's condition because the UK pays for her life, so they're entitled to be kept up to date.
A couple of comments about the Republic, the monarchs in general, few people really hold a torch when it comes to that.
It's an interesting one because the Republican issue isn't really a big one in Australia and hasn't been for quite some time, but there are still some squizzes who do hold a torch for a Republic for us, that's for sure.
As it stands, only 35 votes out of some 700 said that they're just here for the gossip.
And I don't know whether to be encouraged or disappointed about that.
We should point out we also put this poll on social media and more said they were here for the gossip than that. So
well, there you go.
That might say something about people. Final thoughts, Claire.
I'm interested in this from all levels because I think from a process point of view, like how has this actually turned over?
Mm.
Of course, that very real thing about Kate and what is actually going on there. But I think this sort of process, this conversation about the structure of how we get information, Kate, you and I are talking a lot about how brands are becoming publishers. And I think that Scotsman article is very interesting for that part. That's certainly where my mind went to. There are professional standards, of course, that our press has had to maintain for many, 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 many years. They have professional standards and there are repercussions if they actually do breach any of those. But as more of us personally and as brands and as politicians become their own avenue of disseminating information, what standards they're held to and how that actually does inform, you know, our ongoing need for real and true information is a big question.
Oh, that's just too much for a Tuesday.
It's a lot, right?
My final thought, I have very little interest in the royals. I'm not someone who clicks on the royal stuff. I hadn't come across a conspiracy.
Mm.
And that also interested me because where are they? Why am I not getting them? And where are other people getting them? Because I know they're out there, but I haven't been fed them in my media consumption. But when a kill notice is issued, that piqued my interest. And certainly this conversation about where legislation should get involved when it comes to what's real and what's not real and what can go out and what can't go out and what we should be questioning is a fascinating sort of box to unlock, more questions than answers, as always.
And how it seems that the Royals got into this position because they were paying attention to the conversation on social media.
Yeah.
There's plenty of commentary that Kate only put that image out because it was a bit of an answer.
A reaction.
To that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a brave new world, that's
maybe
for sure.
Maybe it's their new strategy.
Could be.
Maybe this is all part of the plan.
A big plan.
Who
knows?
Oh, we could
you
go
heard it
all day.
Here first.
News Club is the place to go for conversations about the news. Thank you for tuning into this episode. If you want to talk more about media, last week's News Club, Meta and News is a big theme. I've done an interview with Tim
Duggan that we talked about in the weekly wrap. He is the chair of the Digital Publishers Alliance, and he talks about the implications for news publishers in Australia if Meta was to pull out of news. So dive into that. Anything else you want to give a shout out to, Claire?
Well, just on that, if you're enjoying the way that we are talking about media and news and these issues, share us with your friends.
Please share the squiz. It's one of the things we're asking people to do with a bit of an uncertain future ahead of us as a publisher. The best thing you can do for us is share the podcast, share our newsletters, get your mates to sign up. Thank you very much. Kate Watson, co-host of News Club and The Weekly Wrap, jumping in here to say thank you for listening to our podcasts first and foremost. And if you like them, we'd really appreciate it if you could share them. Tell your mates about us. Tell your family. Tell your barista. Tell your hairdresser. Whoever you think might be interested in the news that we cover. You telling people about us is still the number one way we grow. Thanks in advance.